I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, folks, and welcome. First thing is the meeting with the chamber. Are you the rep? Well, thank you. All right. I think we were going to talk about the how we work out the park situations and how that can be resolved, that everybody's on the same page anyways. I'm not sure where to go after having said that. So
why are we here?
Are we just talking about spring fling? Spring fling car show?
Well, we might as well talk about what's there, what you guys deal with, and how we can work that out.
Can I?
You may.
To kind of jump in, because when we talked and it looked like the background was we got together and the last time we met with the chamber, it was kind of like a surprise. You hit us by surprise and we said, hey, you're right. Let's stop. Let's
right.
Take and be calmer and talk about where we are. I think so. We said, yeah, we'll put some time together and come back. There was also some, knowing that there was some suggestions and things, there was a suggestion made when we brought it up at another meeting about saying, hey, you know, if you talk about having a $5 fee for the for-profit places and treat the not-for-profit, that would be like people with their cars at the car show. That's the Apple Fest when you have the grade school or the rec department takes up and everything. We're not looking to charge those. What we were thinking more in terms of, it's the ones who are selling the whether it's the fried bread dough. I keep thinking of the standard. You know, I'm a foodie when you say fried bread dough and the sausage, peppers, and onions. And that, but it's those for profit booths. That was one of the recommendations that said that would feel better. Run into a little bit of my takeaway with that was a little bit of a gray area when you said, well, what happens when Aunt Millie has that relish and is selling it here? And even though that might be for a profit, you're lucky if you break even on that. And I don't know what's here, but that's some of the earlier discussion. What we were hoping here is to try to continue that on. So with that, I don't know if any other one on the board here has any comments.
Well, I guess I'll be the one to say it out loud. I'm not entirely sure how we got to a situation where in those cases, the chamber is dictating the prices and collecting the fees when it's really the people that it's the town's part. It's we're the ones that have to deal with the garbage and everything afterwards. And so maybe there's some sort of cost sharing or something that can come up that we can come up with, and everybody can be prepared for it for the next round, like next spring through whatever. And I just don't know how you guys feel about that or where you're at with that. So I'd like that to be part of the discussion too.
Right. Yeah, we haven't talked about it much at our meetings at this point. We were kind of just waiting to see what other people thought about it. I can see the point on, you know, people that are there, that's their business of selling food, and that's like, three people are there. The rest of them are, you know, selling things they made, or as you say, the jar of relish or whatever, stuff like that. It's not much. One thing we did talk about was mentioned before was the taking care of the trash and whatever. We said, well, if we talked about that and said, if you want to just give us a bill, flat bill, boom, that take care of the trash out of there, then, you know, something that we could go with that. if that was the key thing, that the cost of getting rid of trash, then, bill us for that, reasonable number, go along with that. Something that's pretty much cut right simple, without making a lot of formula figuring it out, we just want. And that was the only discussion that we've had, there with the chamber.
I think it gets confusing. Like you said, you're picking and choosing who you're charging $5 for, and that can get confusing. So I think if you're going to do it, I think you kind of got to blanket $5 to everybody, because then that kind of, my mind shows favoritism. You're singling out a certain group and not another group.
What do you charge as it stands now? Pretty much.
You know, I haven't been president for a couple of years, so I don't remember for sure, but I want to say it's like $30 for a 10-foot space, and I think it's $25 if they do an early registration on it. We've always considered the corner where the tower of it, it's down on the other corner, and this corner, we always kind of call them a premium lot because it was electric. Half the time people come, so they can't get close to that, they run a generator anyway, but there's only a couple, three people that are, power's an issue. And we did, I think it was last year, all the sites around the fountain of premium were too, because of the traffic. Well, so we did make those $5 more, ourselves. As I said, I don't have the numbers right off the top of my head what we wound up taking in this year. But by the time we do the porta potties and a little bit of advertising and whatnot, it's not a big money maker. Kind of do it for the people and give the people something to do while they're waiting for the parade, and hopefully bring some people out of town and spend some money.
But wasn't that discussed too that you guys are one of the cheapest in the state?
Yeah, our dues are $65 a year.
Brent, when was the last time you guys raised your dues?
Like 5 years ago.
Are you talking about dues, or are you talking about
the membership? Or no, they're a membership or the...
Good question. So let me see. So you're talking about charging. Now, do you charge, like, when the historical society sets up, are they charged? Well, see, and that's what I'm saying. When you're saying charge everyone, I think you already probably, and I'd be shocked if you told me that Applefest, you charge grade school.
No, that's a school. We don't really have anything to do with Applefest.
When Applefest comes in, you don't?
We don't. The chamber has nothing to do with that.
Doesn't charge anything? Any of the school takes?
No, they take the whole that, thing? They take the school. We have nothing to do with
so
that.
You're,
the we don't charge claim? Religious. We don't charge any churches. If they want to go, we don't charge them either.
So what we're talking about is Spring Fling, the Lumberjack?
No, that's not us either.
So
the car show and the church.
Yeah, that's the two things that we do.
Spring Fling and the car show.
Yeah.
I think this whole discussion got started with us trying to figure revenue. And frankly, we're trying to glom on to what's going on in the park. It's because it's our park. So that's why the $5 fee came out. I'll say it out loud because it's the way I think.
Yeah.
At the very least, I think we should be splitting the fees, whatever the fees are. To be perfectly honest with you, and that probably gets to a break even for us if we have to have overtime guys pick up garbage and things. I have no idea what that costs, but it's at least a couple hours worth of work for two people. So whatever that gets out to.
We just finished a car show, and which I thought, by the way, did a great job.
It's a great thing
of picking up and. And even the cobblestones are putting back. I thought it looked just as good as when you were done as before. So, and again, the, I thought the discussion around getting some money to help offset some of the mowing, the state basic, it's not just taking the garbage out, it was a basic upkeep. We were trying to look at ways of taking care of the upkeep of the park. But I know myself personally, I thought you were more involved than just car show and
no, but just those two events is all we do.
Fine.
You know, and there's the time spent, you know, it's not just the day of spring cleaning. It's the printing, the forms, the you know, stuff in the envelopes, the mailing, and everything else. So, you know, there's a lot of time that we spend in the background getting ready for it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's talking about splitting the pieces. I'm not just sure how we figure that out.
That's me, Tom.
Right. Just, no, I mean, that's where we're throwing stuff out to sea, you know,
yeah,
whatever.
Right.
You know, I mean, it's, you know, there's a lot of time spent in the background getting ready, but the day of is, you know, kind of minor. I'm usually there at 5:30. Well, the night before, we go along and mark out 12 feet. We go out 10 foot space. We mark out 12 feet with just a gob of flour, baking flour, because that's the only thing we could drive out there that, you know, the child wants to pick it up or do whatever, you know. After the first rain, it's gone anyway. But we do that the night before, we measure that, and then I'm there at the, you know, at 6 in the morning, because some people do get there early and start, you know, deciding where they, because they all say they want to be where they were last year. Well, you know, I mark on the sheets as roughly where that was, but, you know, so I don't get a lot of, you know, people there. But, and then we, you know, we're there most of the day, a couple of us, and then kind of we'll walk through when everybody leaves, make sure that the stuff is picked up. But, you know, so it's, of course, you know, splitting that to fee, that's, I'd have to get the number from Sharon if that would begin, but I guess I'd get that number so we can talk about that.
Well, I don't, does anybody else have any other questions? Maybe what the next step is to you guys talk it over and we get a fast and a fairly serious number about what it, our costs are, so we're not I think at the very least we should break even. That's my opinion. I don't know what you guys are thinking.
I just gotta say something. My theory about it is we should get something just to offset our maintenance costs. Now we just put in all the lights. Them lights also have power on them, so that's going to be an option down the road, for vendors. $5 or $10 for a 10x10 is not a lot of money. And most places are $50, $60, $70 for a 10x10. You may not get it here, but I'm telling you, it is. There's a lot of people.
You know, a higher traffic and whatever type place. You know, we always say the spring plane runs until 3 o'clock. When the parade is over, let's be realistic, the place is closed down.
The
parade is done. Yeah. And so, but I mean, all I can do is we'll discuss it in our next meeting and see what we can come up with. But it's not a big money maker. We do it kind of as a service, you know. It's a service of the town, but a service of the area that brings the people in and money in and whatever.
No doubt about
and, that. And what money we do get out of it, you know, we donate to the food shelves in the fall, and that really eats up everything that we've taken in during the year. So, you know, so just we've got to do something else, but just drop Peter a little bit, pay Paul, like I say. But I mean, if you can kind of come up with the number. I mean, I'll go for the number of what we're doing, what we take in, and we'll throw it around some again at another meeting.
Yeah, and to Rich's point, it probably isn't unreasonable to think. I don't know what you said, $30. It's, you know, it's probably not an unreasonable to think that another $10 that shouldn't kill people. But I don't know. You know your customers better than we do. That's for sure.
Right. But most of them are just, you know, kind of a hobby thing that they didn't have to do with that. We do have, you know, the food vendors,
sure,
that's they're making money on that, and I can see that, you know, the point of they should pay more because they are, you know, doing it for a living and making, you know, taking a lot of money over there. So, but it's going to be tough for, you know, some of the ones that are just doing it as a hobby. We'll probably lose them.
We don't want to push people out. We don't want to ruin a good thing, but we, I think we have to cover our costs as well, at least. And if we made some money, that'd be great. But I'd certainly have to cover our costs anyways.
Yeah.
Which is essentially the mowing and the garbage and whatever minimal damage there is. There usually isn't, but I mean,
right. You know, right. I can see, you know, the garbage for the day, but for, you know, considering the mowing for a 5 hour occupation of it.
Yeah, I get it.
It seems a little bit on them.
Yeah, it's just consider it maintenance.
It's just everything the town has to put forward.
Right.
And it, that comes out of our tax base and our taxes. And we should be looking out for our taxpayers.
Right.
Some.
Right.
Help it. Defray costs.
So let's leave it at that unless somebody's got something new to add because we're starting to repeat ourselves. And,
yeah, and I'll get some numbers and information on that side.
Okay. When do you meet again?
Next Wednesday.
Okay, so we could, you know, maybe until we come back and finalize something so nobody's surprised and we can put this to bed. And, you know, if no is no, we'll work at that. I think there's some room for some compromise or something.
No, the cats are stone yet.
No, not at all. Not at all.
All right.
All right.
Very good. We'll see you.
Thanks, Eric.
The numbers.
Thank you for coming.
Thank you.
Can I introduce the meeting? Recreation Director.
Right. Cool. Go ahead if you would like. He's the boss.
Yeah, thank you. Select Board, I'd like to introduce Reese DeCastro. He's our new full-time recreation director here in the town of Perry. Reese?
Hi, everyone. Okay. Thanks for having me. Joe and I thought it'd be a good idea of me to come in talk to everyone for you guys for the rest of your meeting. Reese DeCastro, nice to meet you guys, the new full-time rec director. So I'd like to thank all of you for being able to make that happen. I appreciate it. And I think... very, you know, has a lot of potential and is a big step in the right direction, and I'm excited about it. Stuff I've been up to the past couple weeks. We had a meeting the other day about Memorial Day Parade, seeing how we can do, you know, some different things, new things, try to make that a statewide attraction for Fairhaven, because there's a lot of potential with the park and who we have here. And then we were also talking about, you know, some important stuff, safety protocols, what can we do, protect people, stuff like that, protect children. Started a bottle drive the other day, went over to Liberty Discount Beverage, walked in, took me 3 minutes, talked to them, got a bottle drive started for the first 2 weeks of August, and going well so far. Went over to Aubuchon Hardware today, talked to them about doing a roundup. If you don't know what that is, someone pays a bill of $14.83. Would you like to donate 17 cents to Town of Fairhaven? Going back in Friday, and she said she'd have some papers for me, so excited about that too. Talking to multiple people about maintenance for behind the grade school, making sure that's mowed, trimmed, weed whacked, looks nice. When, you know, people from other towns come to, they're impressed with what we have to offer and making sure that Fairhaven has a good name and good facilities that are safe and clean, and so be it. Meeting tomorrow about soccer, which I arranged. Seeing how we can make that better for everyone, youth and community. Had a couple people reach out to me the other day from other towns, non-residents of Fairhaven, asking what's going on, to keep them in the loop and making sure that people know, social media, newspapers, stuff like that. That their voice is heard and that we have things to offer so we don't lose people's interest. Probably forgetting about Apple Fest. We're setting up an Apple Fest again. making sure that our booth is organized and we pay for what we need, electricity if needed, food, what we need, what other people are doing, making sure that we're not doing what other people are doing, stuff like that, making sure that the Fairhaven Recreation booth is up to standard, looks good, and attractive for other people. And probably forgetting five other things, but making sure our social media is updated. I was talking to the itty-bitty committee today, and they said they're very appreciative of how good it's been, and they look at it every day. So, because that's important with a lot of young families, people are in their early 30s with kids, and Facebook and Instagram, whatever. I mean, that's how people get their news nowadays. And it's really important for other families that might want to move to Fairhaven. They can see what we're about, stuff like that. A lot of other stuff. I've been busy, but it's exciting. It's exciting for Fairhaven, and I appreciate it again. You might recognize me. Castleton, casting graduate, from high school graduate. So I know Fairhaven pretty well, and I'm excited about it. Thank you for the opportunity. Appreciate it a lot.
Keep that.
Good.
Thank you.
It's a good idea you're leaving. We'll think of something else. Okay. Rebecca Stockwell.
So I went to the first board meeting in July. Our call volume's up pretty significantly. I don't have an exact number. But it's definitely going to exceed last year's call volume. We do have several full-time open positions that have been open for quite a while. One of the per diem, the current per diem person, she has applied for the full-time position. So that's exciting. As I'm sure some of you have seen on Facebook, they did rent an apartment with the goal of housing a college student that was on the team, with the requirement of 3 shifts a month to offset their living expenses, but also help the ambulance. They have had one potential, and then there's another interview tomorrow, so that would be for 2 students. They're still working on their community outreach. They're at every concert in the park. They go to the Benson Lake Burdock Festival. They do all the race track, which isn't really a community outreach, that you get paid for that one. But all the concert in the park, they're here for free, just saying hi to the community. In September, they'll be training with local fire departments just so that we have a good working relationship with them. Mental health, we've had a lot of hard calls, young patients' deaths. So they do some like critical stress debriefing when these really stressing the mental health of our emergency service personnel. If you've driven by, they've done all the exterior painting. All the doors are now working and fixed. Next is to work on the inside. They are working on insulating the base to decrease the heat loss and increase the efficiency. Right now, they have one crew on. They call in for additional crews if needed, and then if they have a potential to do a transfer, they call it through. Next board meeting is next Monday. They still do monthly trainings, and the plan would be to remount one of the trucks for about 2 years is like the maintenance plan right now.
Very good.
Questions?
Just thinking about community health, does the squad keep track of the top 3 types of service calls that our community faces?
I'm sure they do. I just don't know what they are. I can ask at the next meeting. I'm sure Wendy tracks everything, so I'm sure she has a good idea of like what the calls are.
That'd be interesting.
Yeah, I can definitely find out for you.
Thank you.
Questions? Buddy, good. Thanks for coming.
Thanks for coming.
You're welcome to stay. It doesn't get any more exciting than what's hopefully. Amendments to the agenda.
Who's there done tonight?
That's
one. I got one. Last meeting I asked.
I don't know if you can do that. to be honest with you.
Sure. When this is from amendments to the agenda, when we get to public comment.
Public comment is a different thing.
Okay.
I just don't think that
rules.
I appreciate that.
You're welcome.
Okay. Approval of minutes of July 23rd, 1st.
Motion to approve the minutes of July 23rd is written.
Is there a second?
I'll second that.
Thank you. Additions, deletions, corrections? Those in favor?
Aye.
I'll abstain. It wasn't here.
I'll abstain. Well, I wasn't.
And then, motion to approve the minutes from July 26th
you.
As written.
Second.
Same questions, any additions, deletions, corrections? All those in favor?
Aye.
I wasn't here for that one.
I wasn't here for that one as well.
Setting the rate.
Thank you. All right, 5 minutes for public comment.
On July 25th, I sent a text to the town accountant who was working from home saying I was going to email her work email as I was looking for help to gather information for a board of abatement hearing. She replied that she did not receive work email at home and to send it to her personal account, which I did. I never heard back from the town accountant, but I did get an email from the town manager telling me his staff was swamped and to look online for information. I did not find my request to be out of the ordinary and replied to his email and included the members of the BCA as it involved the hearing. The email spiraled down to the following. An email from Joe reads, in an attempt to serve the community, the town hall staff has already taken on some of the town clerk's duties. Some things we're happy to help with and can absorb. Other things, like sending emails from the clerk's office or generating postings, are basic functions of the position and are not things we will absorb. As a quick example of what I'm talking about, in the last 12 months, there were 280 dog license transactions. Of those 280, Eileen did 65 of them, or 23 of all transactions. At 10 minutes per transaction, that's about 11 hours, extra hours for Eileen. When I say we are happy to help, that's what I mean, help. We did not do the clerk's job for her. Again, this is not clerk bashing. This is just a statement of fact. Town hall staff has taken on no duties of the town clerk. I want this to be clearly understood. In the past 12 months, from January 1st, 2023, till June 30th, 2024, the town clerk's office has registered 373 dogs. Of that number, Eileen has registered zero. The town manager is looking at cash receipts reports, which come to come up with this figure. There are several reasons why this report shows entries under Eileen's name. All credit card transactions are entered by her. Several were paid with water and sewer payments, tax payments or purchases of dump punch cards or permits for the transfer station. There were others that were paid with large bills, and it was easier for Eileen to enter than to give and to give directly to the residents. There is, of course, the most important reason that has been totally overlooked by the town manager: customer service. Some of my duties take more than a minute. A marriage license might take 30. A new fishing wildlife license might take that long. And that's just a couple examples. Instead of making them wait for a transaction that will take less than a minute, and they will take the payment. It's excellent customer service. It is not taking on 11 hours of extra work. In no instance does entering a payment and writing me a note take 10 minutes. The cash receipts reports will also show my office taking water, sewer, and tax payments, along with countless tax bills that I have printed. Again, it's good customer service. Had the town manager asked me for the number of dogs registered in the last 12 months, I would have told him. Had he asked me how many dogs Eileen registered, I would have given him that information too. This is not about the work. This is about clerk bashing for the sake of clerk bashing. The only fact I see in Joe's emails is that dogs were licensed. Tuesday, I will preside over the 8th election this year. Each one of these is a tremendous amount of work. It is true I have two assistants. The entire year's budget is less than $5,000. They have not helped me substantially while I was in the office. I find it incomprehensible that the town manager has been repeatedly allowed to attempt to discredit the work I do for the residents of Fairhaven. I will continue to speak out when I am unfairly attacked. This month marks the 20th year I have served this town in one office or another. I am serving the residents of Fairhaven to the best of my ability, and I am frequently being thanked by them for my efforts. And in closing, I would like to thank Mike Doran for reaching out to me and showing his support. And I hope you have a very nice evening, gentlemen.
Thank you for your service.
Thank you, Danny.
Thank you, Danny.
Thanks.
Nick? Yes. Anyone else? Go ahead.
The amendment that I was going to make was the fact that I asked a question last meeting, when is the town going to file for quiet title to the properties at 1618, 24 Willard, 5 Union Street, or 7 Union Street, as your reports of sale violate state law, Title 32, VSA 5255. That's my only question. That was my only question. That wasn't in the written minutes.
I don't know.
I don't remember that.
I wasn't here for that, so...
I understand you're new to this conversation.
Thank you for your comment, but you're not going to get a response.
I'll get one, don't worry.
Okay. Any other comments?
Yeah. Any other... Yes?
I have here that... I want to say, first of all, for the record, my name is Lillian Goller, and... maybe within the last 2 weeks or so, I went to Mr. Gunter's office and I had requested, like I did at one of the meetings, the written correspondence concerning the sale or purported sale of 1618 River Street to Jerry Sears. And I was asking for any and all documents, written correspondence that was not attorney-client privilege. I mean, I respect that. And I went over one day to speak with Mr. Gunter, and he said, he has 3 days. I said, okay, I respect that. I came back, and he said, they don't exist. I don't understand, blah, blah. I said, well, okay. I said, so perhaps I'll put it in writing so that there'd be no misunderstanding as to what I was looking for. Another 3 days went by, and he said, they don't exist. I can't find them, or something to the effect of, you know, they just aren't. And I said, okay, fine. I said, do you want me to write something again? And he said, do whatever you have to do. So in doing so, I'm going to present a package, two letters, and that explains the first one, and the second to each member. And the second one that I'm asking for is sort of a follow-up with respect to the production of the checks that were tendered by the town treasurer on March 18, 2014, relative to the purported tax sale. I'm going to give you those documents here. Within this package, the two letters are self-explanatory, or should be self-explanatory. What I just said is more or less an introduction. But I have included Title 1, VSA, Section, I think it's Subsection 003, which is the Freedom of Information Act and Public Access to Documents. Many, many times at these meetings, statutes are mentioned, statutes are read. And, you know, according to VSA, blah, 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 VSA, blah, 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 okay, we're going to go into executive session, we're going to do this, we're going to do that, whatever the statute is. I fully understand and I respect that none of you are attorneys and you cannot be held to that legal standing. However, there is a handbook, and I don't know how many of you have secured and read the VLCT handbook for select people, persons. There's also one for a town manager. Because although you're here, we're here, every other Tuesday for an hour, 2 hours, or whatever it is, and you're all elected officials, and I'd like to commend Mr. Jordan for what he said about we are here to do the work of the people. We need to listen to the people. You're here, yes, and the meeting starts at 7 and the meeting ends at whatever. But during that time, each and every one of you are held to statutory duties. And those are outlined in the handbook. The other part that I'd like to speak about is very briefly in this, that I'm asking for these documents, which you'll see. It is a statutory duty on the custodian to produce these records and or answer. And it has to be in writing by statute. Those are duties. Not just, oh, we're here for 2 hours. Hey, what are you doing after? Let's go get a cup of coffee. These are duties that are you're held to by law in here, well, in the handbook and this. But in particular, I believe it's section 318 of Title I, that whoever is a custodian of it, these documents, it has to be a writing to answer. And there's a time frame in it. So I know it's extensive reading, but it's worthy of reading, and it's incumbent to read your statutory duties. Not only this as particular to the request, but the handbook. The handbook.
Thank you.
Two other quick points. One of those.
You're getting seated at 5 minutes.
Oh,
point of order. We don't need to sit here and be lectured when there's 5 minutes for public comment. Like, how long are we going to continue about?
I'll give you 2 more minutes.
I'll be done in less than that. I called the other day to Brian Lonigan, the moderator of who was here for the fire hearing, requesting the tape recording of it. He said he called Mr. Gunter for it. Mr. Gunter said he hadn't heard from me. And my attorney at the time had requested of Mr. Gunter. So whoever is the custodian of that tape, could you please have it produced?
Audio recording.
The audio recording of that hearing. I'd like to do it informally now, but yet on the record. Otherwise, we're going to have to go the formal route. Because from what I understand, Mr. Monaghan said it's with Mr. Gunter. And the third, very quickly, is I do welcome, and it's too bad the young man left. I wanted to welcome him to the community. He seems full of enthusiasm. Good to have a new face, but the unfortunate thing is that the upstairs rec room community center isn't available, despite the fact that we got the Peter Welch grants. We're still not into
phase two,
and the community would hope to have an open house upstairs relatively soon.
We'll talk.
Thank you.
Okay. Department head report. You win. Oh, chief chair, I'm sorry.
I shall report your boxes. In the last 2 weeks, we have 4 arrests. There were 32 traffic tickets. 7 written warnings. We responded to car crashes. So we completed 15 sets of civilian fingerprinting. It provided you with a brief review of our activity. We completed the quarterly sex offender registry checks within our community. We had 102 calls for service, and we are at 2211 for the year. And then I will work on our revenues for July.
Questions for the chief?
No. Chief, do you keep track of accidents and which roads they're on?
Yeah, I actually have. Everything goes into WebCrash, and I actually just got it from the state, and they sent it to us to use it for formulating the next highway safety grant. Okay. So that went to Kevin Dino, and then they have a heat map that shows what areas. Primarily, it's the 22A corridor is most of our crashes, but I have that. I just have that.
Excellent.
I'll print it out and give it a copy. The only other thing is we had a complaint about a ban on Southside. One resident was complaining. I did go down there and speak to the band. They said they were going to try to close the door. I did talk to some of the neighbors that were right close proximity. They did not have an issue. Some of them say we've all listened to it. So they were going to try to be respectful of the one gentleman that was complaining, try to do something. We did not get any calls this weekend. So hopefully maybe that will mitigate. I know he was unhappy. He had come in to see Joe, and I heard he might go crack off his wife. So just wanted you to be aware if he reaches out to you that we did address it, and we'll see what happens next Sunday. They have practice every Sunday around 11 o'clock, so I think it's 2 or 3. But did you get any complaints?
Yeah. I haven't heard of it. Southside?
Yeah, it's Academy, Pleasant Street area, that one. I think that's all I have.
No question for the chief?
No. You're on.
I'm still working on opening the transfer station. I reached out to the folks over at Gleason Road to get some advice from them. This is what they do on a regular basis. They take in trash from all over the county. So,
it's all county that's part of the Rutland Solid Waste District. I don't understand what you're trying to ask.
Gleason Road.
Yeah. That's the solid waste district main collection point.
Okay.
It's not everybody. Somebody from Fairhaven can't go there.
You're better off contacting Hubbard. Hubbard's takes.
Yeah. I don't know. You did get permission from the state. It's beyond my belief. But anyways, okay.
Yeah, he's given me just a little bit of advice on how to move forward. So I'm still working on that. The tax bills did go out, and we need to thank Eileen and Darcy. This is the fastest we've put out tax bills since I've been here over the last 7 years. So thank you to them. You see, Public Works is up on Bigelow Hill. Well, they're doing a ton of stuff right now, but the big project they're working on is Bigelow Hill. They're putting in stone on the ditches. They got to replace a couple culverts, and we're taking down a monster tree out there that's in the right of way. So if you're up there, stop and say hey. Backhoe grant came through, $24,500 for the new backhoe. Here's the number. Of that, so this is a pretty unique grant. With that $24,000, that means the town only pays 24% for a new piece of equipment. You know, ARPA paid for a big portion of it, and then the grant. So it was, you can't get any cheaper than that. Thank you to Project WorkSafe. They came through, they finished up their job. We fixed all the violations that they had found, and we're moving forward. If you're downtown lately, you see the yellow lines have been painted and the turn lanes have been painted. The state will still come through. They're still going to do the entire stretch of 22 and 4.
So, do we have any kind of plan of like the other painting, like the stops, crosswalks and stuff like that? Do we have like an annual?
Our guys will do that before the school year starts.
Thank you.
Reese already mentioned, but we met with Sean Galvin about the Memorial Day Parade, kind of spitballing how we can improve that event.
Rep related, sorry to interrupt. Sounds like the pickleball court is a little delayed because of a part that came in incorrect. We're waiting on
the
part.
They sent us, let me think about it, 12 uprights, if I remember correctly. They sent 12 posts and 0 bases instead of 6 and 6. So the committee is working with the producer to get us what we need. We held their check.
Less so for him.
Yeah, that speeds people along. And the last.
Cards for what now?
The pickleball nets.
Oh, okay.
And then the Scotch Hill project, that's with the state. Our permits are in with them. They're reviewing and they'll post it for the 30 day. And just as a heads up, budget begins at the end of this month.
What begins at the end of the month?
The budget process. I know.
I look forward to this fall.
Questions for them? Come in.
May I ask a question?
You may.
Regarding the WorkSafe program, could we get an itemized list of all the things that need to be fixed and the monetary costs that are associated with these things?
I don't see why not.
I appreciate that. Thank you.
Public record. It might not be forthcoming quickly, but
well, I understand that
there's plenty of requests out there.
Oh, I understand.
All right.
Has that been finalized yet? Everything?
Yes.
Okay.
It's done. So,
project.
Just wanted to make sure.
I would say right, and I wouldn't get too very specific about cost if you can contribute, because some of that stuff will be just stuff they did during the day.
It's like unplugging.
Exactly. Okay. Okay. Cemetery tree removal.
Okay, two points for the there's an enormous pine that needs to come down in the cemetery, Cedar Grove. One estimate was for 11,000, the other one was for 15,500.
How many trees?
One enormous tree and then like two small ones over here.
Okay. It's sticker shot. It's sticker shot.
Yeah.
It's incredible amount.
That's all stump grinding too for that.
They're going to grind all the stumps.
Yeah,
I was told that wasn't the case, but
no, it's in the quilt.
Who's that? All right.
And you're removing stump grind, white pine, and two spruce.
And are you recommending one of the two?
I would go with the McLaughlin brothers, and they are the cheapest. They're the ones that took down the
pine. You hit the playground.
They did. Did they do the playground?
They did good work.
I'll make a motion that we accept the McLaughlin Brothers $11,000 bid for the tree removal.
I'll second that.
Comments, questions? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Okay. ARPA funds.
Yes, ARPA funds. So the board has $64,000 remaining in ARPA. You should have a sheet that looks something like that. It shows where the money has been spent so far, total, and then what remains.
And you,
I didn't get a copy of that in my packet.
And you're looking for some suggestions or discussion around when by October, was that the deadline? Would that we have to,
we have to designate
already, it. Or have we already
it's,
covered it with that?
It's already, yeah, it's already been covered with that. What do you call it? Not proclamation, but that thing we read and entered into the minutes a few meetings ago.
Oh, okay.
Not
the declaration.
Yeah, whatever. I forget the name of this thing. But so we should be covered there, but I mean, it would be better to do something sooner rather than later, I would imagine.
So
if you have ideas.
By October, we have to have it designated specifically. Is that all we have? We don't have to actually have the work done.
We just have to have it allocated.
Right.
So what if, just a suggestion here, we're going to do 50,000 in ARPA funds towards the backhoe. And with that grant, at least around 25 1,024,551, I do believe. What if we took the rest of that money out of the ARPA instead of taking it out of our reserve funds that we talked about? Keep our reserve funds up for future projects.
You can do that.
We can. I'm from a standpoint of, we're going to be talking a little later on in the agenda about some of our, what do we consider our most important one or two projects. I would like us to entertain that $64,000 being earmarked to help continue to get our second floor.
No, and I agree. I mean,
we saw a lot of things that they need. It's not that I wouldn't want to keep the reserve fund, but I'm saying we figured out how to pay it. It all worked out there. What I'm not real comfortable with is waiting for a MERP grant, a Municipal Energy Resiliency Program grant that we haven't heard anything from on. And there's still some things like some heating.
And then there's, and not only, and the goal is to have the upstairs
so we can use,
but, you know, you look around the exterior of the building too, and that's some, a lot of rotted fascia and slate repair and windows. I mean, that
could be,
we're never going to get,
could be fascia.
We're never going to have that kind of money again on those grants. I mean, when we later, I think, you know, use much of that to shore up this building as best as we can. We can discuss that later.
Well, we don't have to make a decision now, but it's I get where you're coming from, but I think we do need to spend some money here. My question is, when are we going to hear about the MERP?
They said at the end of this year, so they've been very kind of sketchy with their responses.
So the only thing we could do to cover ourselves is to designate that this money that's left for repairs to the building, and if it works, that it offsets the in kind that we have to, you know, or is there any?
No, it's a freebie. There's no in kind on that one.
There's no. Okay. All right.
If the MERP came through and we get all the money we need there, fine. But I keep saying, like you were saying, not only just the exterior of this building,
yeah,
the kitchen that hasn't been able to be used forever up there, if you're truly going to make it a usable space up here, we need to have the kitchen.
Right.
And then you can rent it, use it, fire department can use it, there's some things. Or we still have
open. I thought they were using the kitchen. I'm very confused that they're not.
Kitchen hasn't been used in forever.
Shouldn't there's a fridge out there.
Oh, well, I'm talking the stoves and everything else. It's,
there's a hood over the range that the hood is just kind of run through the ceiling and just outlook. It daylights like out just a window that they remove.
There's some major.
There's
some major work. I'm just saying is.
Yeah.
For right now, what I hear is possibly if MERP comes through, we don't use it, we can use it to help offset. Well, we've got a couple places we don't have to definitely earmark it right now today because of that declaration that we signed.
Yeah, you don't have to do anything today.
So because we're good.
But October is.
Well, we're even good there because of
the declaration
how we use the money. But we should, knowing as we have a plan, there's $64,000.
Well, what's the preference?
What's your best use of that $64,000?
I think showing up this building is the best use of that. I mean, we want this building to stick around for another 100 years, take care of the rotted wood, get the upstairs finished. Might as well, soon enough, we can get some grants down the road, great. But if we sit around until the end of the year, we don't get it, and then we allocate that money somewhere else, where are we going to find the money to put into this building?
I'm sure.
Yeah. If it's not in this building, I think we need to invest in our sidewalk safety infrastructure and some lighted signs around town at various crosswalks and build out some new crosswalks in certain areas.
I mean, the highway safety grant.
Well, see, I look at that 64,000. I like to turn that 64,000 into 300,000 and use it as a grant match to get some real work done. I mean, but that's in the best of all worlds. As long as we have 64,000 and we and whether that's of that 300,000, if it was a grant to do major work somewhere, that would work too. But right now,
I think what my personal opinion would be,
we need to get ourselves ready to
clean up,
ready to open
some of the
business upstairs.
You're not going to get a lot of work for 64.
No, but it'll take not a ton.
The more the merrier.
Right.
Well, yeah, I'm working.
Rich,
yeah,
we kind of know where you want it, but.
Well, I mean.
You're just trying to get the cost to be not right to leave the reserve fund.
Equipment's important to do the job. Heat's important upstairs if we're going to be up there.
Yep.
I mean, it's all important stuff, but you know, it's whatever the majority wants. I mean,
consensus seems to be on this building.
How much money again on the MERP grant are we looking for?
We max out at 500,000.
I thought we asked for.
Yeah, well, they just allocate that. Because we have a high cost of, we have a high energy cost in this town. The state allocates certain amounts to, you know, based on that. They said that's the max. So if you get the max or not, I don't know, but. We could spend every bit of that. It was for ADA improvements and energy improvements.
Well, wish us luck.
Mm.
Okay. All right. The memorandum of understanding with Sleep Valley for the playgrounds.
Yep.
Everybody got a chance to follow through this?
Okay. My initial reaction when I looked at it was no, I wouldn't sign it in 100 years. It's so written with the school saying basically taxpayers don't use what you have, your playground and everything, and we're going to tell you everything you're going to do with it down there. Right. I'm just saying, no, we told them a year ago we weren't going to lock a gate. We told them a year ago that the taxpayers have a right to use their playground, and you don't close it to everybody during the school hours. It looks like another, I went and did some modifications and said, as long as it was just a draft, I'd take on the bottom and put another bullet down there if you truly want to go forward and do something like the district will pay an annual fee of $25,000 for the exclusive rights of using the facilities from 8 a.m. to 3 p.m. while school's in session. I'm just saying there's when I look at this and everything, I'm just saying.
I don't think they get the right to tell us what to do with our town playground. And it's insane that they walk that far down to the playground every day for recess. Like that's a distance. That's a haul for kindergartners or first graders or whoever. You know,
pickleball opens up, and what you're saying is the people who would be playing during the middle of the day. Oh no, you can't. You have to do it. I looked at the background when I took, and the district has always reimbursed. But underneath it, it says Fairhaven will reimburse the district for electricity used for cameras. Yeah. I said, well, change the language up there to the district will reimburse the town for what they're doing with the chips and the mulch. It is so one-sided and so far off. I looked at this and I said, not only do I not agree with it, I see no reason. I don't know why you're making an issue where one, it says it's solving a problem with concerns for safety. What problem are we solving?
Mm.
What problem am I solving?
Chief, jump in if I'm mistaken. Folks can open carry on city or town property, right? You sign an MOU where a school now has some jurisdiction over that property. You can deny access to
weapons. We can The school doesn't have the park, and do you have open? Okay, didn't you have open container in the park?
No, not container.
Open carry. Oh, open carry of a gun. Can you open carry in the park? So we have to write an ordinance.
So there's no ordinance you can write.
So yeah, but I'm saying this. Okay, so this what if of an open carry? So we have someone who's going down open carrying, and that's why we're doing this. I looked at this and saw the only reason is it sounds like their insurance company is pushing back saying you have to have this in order for us to do insurance. And I'm saying we have town insurance. They have their insurance company. Someone gets hurt down there, the insurance companies are just going to argue with each other as the other one was supposed to pay anyway. I don't think you solved anything. But, I mean, I don't mean to be.
I think some of that came out of 2018. And I think some of the MOU was in response to the school teaches adults and they teach. So if the kids are out there and then you have an external threat, it does affect their normal. Like they won't bring the kids out if somebody's out there. And we get called all the time to go down there during the week. Somebody's there. We go check them out. They're playing golf. We kind of say, oh, hey, the school called. They're a little hinky here. We try to educate them, schools. And a lot of people are like, oh, I'll just come back at 3 o'clock. But I think that was the school's mission on trying to do an MOU with that. It's just the way their safety plans run, and then they use that area for recess.
I think
they don't want to bring a class out to strangers out. They don't know who they are. It's a weird mixed match because of the location.
I just believe that the school and all the trouble they've had in getting a budget, 5 votes, now is not a good time to go asking to close down the taxpayers' Bear Haven, their playground. Hmm. From September to the end of June, from 8 o'clock until 3, and actually there's that you're it's not to 3. It's probably because you're going to have soccer and sports and everything going on. You're literally we got a full time recreation director, no place for the recreation to happen. I'm just saying this is not something. Why are we going? I still come back to what problem am I solving?
Well, and that may be, that's a legitimate question to ask. My question was, has any of our legal people looked at this?
I sent it to legal and they have not got back to me. Okay. I sent it to them last week.
Well, you can probably get a feeling of distaste.
Yeah. I agree with Glenn. I mean, why? We're trying to promote a recreation department. Why shut it down?
And we've dumped a ton of money in the last few months.
Look, the school does not get to dictate. They want it. They can. We hired a rec director to promote everything. And now we're going to put his cuff in his behind, hands behind his back so he can't do anything. I don't agree with it.
Chief, I didn't mean to. You were going
to. No, the only part I was in the MOU is we tried to get there at some point with the camera systems. The school had a couple cameras back there, but because we had no MOU, I had to get a subpoena to get it if I needed it. So I guess I was looking at if you guys do an MOU that the school, we have joint access to our cameras, their cameras, because it helps us. Hmm. And that's kind
of those cameras that we're installing are going to be ours.
No, I understand that. But if there are school cameras there that cover some of that area, that right now, like I know I had an incident down there and I can't get that. Mm-hmm. I can go up and look at it, but I can't take pictures of it. I can't without getting a subpoena. So I'm just wondering if there was a happy marriage. If you guys do something,
and that may be the cameras. That may be a whole separate issue. I mean, there's a basic. We're going to use their electricity to do that, I assume.
What?
Or are we?
I would say, why are we bothering? They think electricity is a problem. Keep your electricity. We pump power down there. We'll use our own electricity.
Well, that's what I was wondering. That's our view of diet. But my question is the same. Yeah. Will the electricity... that we have run the cameras that we're
going there's to power down there to run the cameras, but we have to, because there's no line of sight between the park and this building, we got to bounce it off their roof and then bounce it to us.
Okay.
So it's that stanchion, the thing on the roof that's going to.
Right. So we have to come up with an agreement.
It's not going to be a ton of electricity, though.
No. And so we have to come up with an agreement with that. Right. And we do things like, resurface the playground, something like that. There's a way to come up with an agreement and a much more refined, defined, whatever you want to call it, MOU. And this one is pretty broad and it's pretty one-sided.
Oh, definitely. All the way over here. I don't know why we'd even consider it.
It's one of the unintended consequences of voting for
right
the
right now. There's a lot of disgruntled people in Fairhaven that used to go up to the high school and walk the track.
Right.
Older folks. They're not allowed to do that during school hours. Most of these older folks don't want to go up there after school hours.
Right.
Okay? And that's bitterness there for the people.
But
and then we're going to do it down there also? No.
Before it was this regional Slate Valley, you wouldn't even have an issue. It was all done.
No, we wouldn't, because we only built.
And I think we're building more and more of a wedge, not bringing us together. Okay? And we need to bring it together.
Can you tell them that this is not
acceptable? Yeah, 100%. I'm getting that vibe.
With the idea of the open carry.
I don't want to see it.
If there is, right, if there's a problem, and I also, just so you understand, I have a little bit of emotion on this one here. I also don't want to see some draconian decision that says you can't, or because we wouldn't sign this, the kids can't use the playground. Now, I'd like to think the adults can act as adults and they'll work it out.
Right.
There's ground.
I know this came up last year, the year before, I think, and we just told them, call us.
We'll come down and
we can do if suspicious shouldn't be there, we'll move them along. Do what we have to do.
If you have a concern, and it sounds like they have been, so I don't, again, I'm trying to figure out what problem we're trying to solve.
Well, yeah, but everybody in Fairhaven isn't sketchy that goes down there. So,
yeah.
So and I'm sure they're acting, they're not, they're just being, you know, acting out of safety for their kids, and everybody's sketchy at that point. You know, so I get that, but there should be a happy medium someplace. All right. Offset.
Did I hear somebody say that people like me, for instance, don't have access to go walk on the track at the high school during the day?
That's correct.
That is correct.
Because
is that a school? Is that a school thing, or is that a law? Or?
No, it's a school thing.
School decision.
School decision.
As if I'm going to hurt a high school kid.
Well,
I know you're kind of tough.
That's why there's bitterness.
The $30 million budget ought to at least get you to walk on the track. Yeah, I understand. I understand. That's the one that we need to start working.
I don't know. That just I didn't know that.
Went on for about 4 years now.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, you know, it's fear.
Have we beaten that one?
Yes, we have. Yep. Traffic ordinance review is next on the list. And seeing as I haven't even looked at that, everybody looked at that yet.
I have.
Briefly.
Let's table it then, please, because I haven't looked at this since the last time we did this.
Yeah.
Unless you have.
We can know if, again, you know, want to talk about it as an agenda item, but we can wait to the next meeting. I took and marked up one, and it's going to require more work being done anyway. So
if there's questions that could be answered by the next meeting, let's go ahead and talk about those.
Well, just on page 11 of the, it starts the Article 9 public parking. That's really when you start getting into all the parking.
Mm-hmm.
On section 1, where it says it shall be unlawful to use public parking facilities for storage of motor vehicles or unregistered vehicles, I agree with that, but I think there should be a number 2 after that. Vehicles have to, and I don't know what the wording is, but it's for those people who come in, park it, and it just never moves for a week, 2 weeks. I'd like something that says vehicles have to move at least during a 3-day period here, or it's considered that you're using it as storage, and it's not go out in 3 days and move it from this spot to this spot. The whole idea is that's not your storage place, so it can be worded differently. After Article 10, on the bottom of Article 10, there's a Section 4 that says it shall be unlawful to park for more than 15 minutes in the public parking spaces on the west side of the triangle. And I'm going, I'm trying to figure out where that 15-minute parking is. That the parallel by Cloud 9 that they're considered on the that they're considering on the west side of the triangle?
It's over here. I think that came out of when Mr. Brown was on the board when we revamped the triangle by the school. That went to like a 15-minute parking
area. Okay, because what got me on that was it shall be the one number three. It shall be unlawful to park within the center area as referred to as the triangle. So I thought they were talking in front of the brewery as the triangle.
No, triangle would be the memorial.
And so the where's the center area that they're talking about? You can't park. Oh, the that little street that the people try to park on?
We're right there in front of.
On the north side of the Memorial Park?
One North Park, I believe, in that area. That was
okay, so that's the triangle. See, I thought they were talking down. It makes more sense.
Yeah, it needs to be defined better. The definition's main.
It's when we look at it, there's some major rewrite that I'd say even before we talk about it, someone needs to go. And I'd like a new Article 11. We now have the rules for the park and ride parking regulations should be a whole article and section. And for in my mind,
kind of, I think we kind of timed this. This is why I brought it. My biggest gripe is we dumped all that money into the park and ride, and it irks me when I go by 6 o'clock in the morning or 4 o'clock in the afternoon. It's the same vehicles every day in the same spot. I mean.
Well, I'll just give you one example. There's a gentleman that lives in apartment number two.
Yeah.
He's like 90 years old. His car sits there.
Yeah.
He barely used it, but that's where he's designated to park. When I had it moved, he moved it over out of the way and then he put it back, but he hasn't used it since. So that's the only area where you want to move. Like, that guy does rent, he does live there.
Rick, my biggest thing is that I feel like it's not the town's job to provide parking to the tenants.
We made the mistake when that building when the Makemakers had it in the 100 years ago when they first made that building over, not to make them designate parking someplace else. Just allowed them, and I don't even know who was on the board at the time, but we allowed them to put refurbish the building and park wherever they wanted to, which is exactly against their zone.
Right.
Because at the time, you had to have two parking places for
right, and two parking
for
you know,
so there's like a grandpa.
We're you know trying to promote town to get people in, and if you have your parking rights taken up by tenants, well, I'm going to drive through town and up. They don't want my business here.
Well, I get it. I mean, right now we're doing motorcycle storage in the park.
Yeah, that one that's been here almost every.
One on the end here,
moving around the park,
and then there's two.
We currently have.
George, he lives at 85 Main Street. He was riding when he came here the other day. The one parked here belongs to Jeremiah. He lives in 85 Main. And the one that's parked here, he lives at 16 West Park. That's Al Sarah.
One good thing about the snow is going to come pretty soon and the motorcycles are going to go. But you've got under that Article 11 in the apartments, when I was thinking someone could draft up something that says if you have, I don't know how many people in the apartments have cars that use that parking, but go to the far end of the park and ride to the west and identify one through whatever the number is. And those are the parking places for the apartment. And you could even put a little sticker on there.
Crafty. I think we got the building owners in here because I talked to you and you said some building owners are open to having off-street parking. The conversation you and I had, I think we should look at moving them behind their buildings, and if I meet with these building owners and come up with something, because I'm sorry, it's not our job to provide parking. The building owners are making, let's say, $1,000 an apartment. I mean, they
more than that, probably because
they're making plenty of money to where they can all chip in and build some kind of figure out some kind of parking.
Well, a few weeks ago, it was mentioned that Maple Street be closed off and used as a parking lot.
It's a parking lot.
So there, I had never been down Maple Street until after that conversation. I drove down through there. That's
pretty narrow.
It's pretty narrow in there.
Well, the other thing too is it's old. It's elderly housing. Elderly subsidized housing. So the people are less able to get from the back to the. Not our problem again, but it's a consideration we'll have to take in when we finally come
up. There's also a lot of area back there that says no parking's roped off. Apparently, that's private property.
Yeah, probably.
I don't know who owns it and what the deal is.
Well, eminent domain has never been challenged since the Roman times, so that's always a possibility.
I think that's Dave Nelson's build up back there.
Well, then he should help out.
He should help out.
He's got an apartment.
And I'll say it again. Eminent domain has never been successfully challenged since the Roman times.
And I understand it's been that hard for you, but I mean, we spent a lot of money beautifying that, and it doesn't.
Yeah, I know.
It irritates me to see all those good spots just.
Yeah,
absolutely.
They can figure it out. It's not our.
It goes along with those motorcycles that are parking out there saying, no, they're using parking spaces that weren't intended to be the parking space for people living in
the house. And the other thing, a basic compromise of that would be to allow more than one motorcycle in one parking place.
Mm-hmm. I thought about that. I was going to reach out to him about maybe he could move them in one.
Or designate.
At least we wouldn't waste it. They shouldn't be stored there. Bottom line.
The ones that got the tarps on it.
Exactly. Find a place. There's places that store vehicles all the time.
Got the game standard. You got the what's over daily zone over the border.
On the ordinance that I was looking at, I don't know if it's in the old market up or not. You have a new stop sign we never had before on South Park Place. So that stop sign would have to be out of the ordinance. And then add the park and ride one way. Because it's a do not enter. And right now, there's no ordinance prohibiting that. Obviously, we would stop somebody and talk to them. But as far as writing a ticket until the ordinance is in there, it wouldn't apply. So that would have to be added as a one way. And then the stop sign on South Park and Adams Street.
Are we also going to have our yearly conversation on whether or not to make Liberty Street a one way?
Let's bring it back.
It comes right around. It comes. We're talking the parking and the street
it's
traffic.
It's been awful lately.
Yeah, really.
It's been terrible.
Just the thought. The paving didn't kind of help.
No.
Oh, it made it
made
so
it
bad.
Hard.
Now, geez, we're going to get two lanes and people park.
You park right, there's nothing. Oh, so
but
parking.
The parking lot's empty.
Yeah, yes.
And nobody's in their parking lot.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
So,
that's very true.
I think that would. It's an accident waiting to happen.
So I would recommend, now, so, you know, I took us down this rabbit hole a little bit, that rather than just putting it back and talking again, modifying a lot of these things on the different pages so we're coming back, we're closer, and you add at the same time, if you come up with something else, we add it. So we're coming back with a document that's getting closer and closer.
But I think it'd be a good idea to get building owners in here too to kind of hash out something. I don't know. You guys got more experience.
Well,
then I'm with this. I'm just.
Well, it all depends on. If you're saying bring the people who have the apartments in here to fix it, it's a good discussion. But if you've already got your answer that says they're not going to be in the parking ride, I don't want to bring people in thinking that it's open for discussion when it's not. So I think we're not there yet to know whether we can bring them in. And more discussion. It's a good discussion that we're having. I think the other thing we're going to see on this ordinance is snow removal. And I think we might run into, especially with our new park and ride, when some big snowstorm comes, how you have to move to have snow removal and odd or even or whatever that we hadn't ran into before that we're probably going to.
Which we probably should have a long time ago, but now would you do it?
But now we might want to start thinking about it.
Chief, is there anything in the ordinance that you recommend taking away or adding said you have to stop. And
I haven't gone through it in a while. If it's working. Yeah. It's just I know every time you add a stop sign somewhere.
Well, yeah, and I went through it briefly, and it did say, what was that? We're talking about Liberty. Yeah, it says it shall be unlawful to park anytime on the north side of Liberty Street. So right there, you've already, according to the ordinance, you've got people that
they park all the time.
Park all the time.
North side of Liberty Street. I think we held off from enforcing that one though, because there was supposed the whole idea is you don't park on the sidewalk, and our version of the sidewalk is a white striped line that goes down through there. And we said, hey, you need more.
It doesn't matter because nobody pays attention to it. Nobody.
You really need to put, and I've been proposing putting a sidewalk back in.
Putting a sidewalk back in here with a curb. So
you come off on Main Street, you're not paying attention. You're right in the travel portion now. There's no line or nothing. And in the winter, the lines don't matter anyways. And I've stepped off like, ooh, wait a second. And I actually had to step back in the car right tight to the right to the restaurant wall.
Right.
So I don't know how to delineate that. I don't know what year we did the road. But when we took that sidewalk out, it used to be a paved sidewalk there.
Yes.
And that never ever got put back.
With a curb.
There was a curb.
I remember that. We were on the board at that time. We need people to be able to stop in here. They're old and they can't get up on the sidewalk to come into the business.
They can't step up on the curb.
I've heard that argument several times this summer.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I'm old and I can walk up on a sidewalk.
Well, I know. I'm thinking of starting a medical implement store. There's so many decrepit people in this town.
I'm good on the traffic ordinance for now.
Okay. Let's revisit next time.
If I could ask a favor.
Yeah.
If any of the selectmen have some edits, could you send me the edits so I could put them in?
Sure.
I could put them in there and then we can talk about what's there instead of coming here and talking about it. And then talking about it.
Okay. And if you get, just give us whatever you have ahead of time.
Yes.
Okay. All right. Seeing as we want to be vague, board guidance and discussion. Could that be more vague?
Yeah. So I think it was.
Where do you want to start?
Let's start at the top. So back in, way back in 2018, I asked the same question to the select board back then. What do you guys want town manager's office to focus on? And back then it was, rehabbing town hall and then doing Adams Street Bridge. And there's been a lot of stuff in between there, obviously, but it's coming to a point where I'm not saying I have a ton of free time, but I feel like I need that next goal, like as town hall starts to phase out. Adam Street was just never started. I guess I'm looking for some guidance on what you guys long-term goal is.
So something I'd like to talk about, I talked to Joe about this after that whole debacle this winter with West Street and the slate sidewalks. And I asked if there's some kind of historical grant out there, because I think we're probably one of the only towns left in the state that's got on a slate sidewalks, if we could look for some kind of grant to, build them up, pull the slate pieces up, put like a crushed stone base or something on them and raise them back up and kind of rehab them.
We did help you out a long, long time ago. It's still pretty good shape.
Right.
Would any of our local slate businesses be interested in helping?
Right. I mean, and I'm not saying replace the bases. I mean, you can save, I'm sure a lot of them are salvageable, but I mean, Paddock does a lot of the compacts that we just like I'm saying, lift them up, build a base, and then just put it even.
I'd love to see that. One of the things we talked about a long time ago was to do slate at the Veterans Memorial, that whole lane.
Yeah.
Just do slate there, so that'd be forever for you.
Right. We are the slate capital.
As long as we're talking ordinances, we have an ordinance that says if you're going to repair a sidewalk, it's going to be cement, it's not going to be slate. So we're, and then the discussion you're having about fixing slate, I'm going to spend a dollar, if I'm going to spend a dime, it's going to be to put cement sidewalks in. It's not to continue the problem with slate. That's just me. And I know
you have no sense of history, Mike.
It doesn't matter. I have a sense of the ordinance, and we'd be violating the ordinance, and it must be okay to sit here, make ordinance, and violate.
Right, but I'm not asking to replace. I'm asking just to repair, focus on repairing what we've got.
And while you're there, when you look at the cost, if you're going to spend that money, why not do it right? Put the cement sidewalk.
My point is, look at Pelkey Avenue. We did Pelkey Avenue in the 90s. Look at it. It's held up.
I think if you throw out the slate sidewalks in town, you'd have.
Do we plow Pelkey Avenue?
Not floor.
I'm sure we do with the.
Perhaps a compromise.
What do they shovel it? Come on.
No, I don't. I just don't think there's. They don't remove the snow.
Sure. I'm not trying to be argumentative and not be anti-historical. I'm just saying, these are looking at your rules. Follow the rules. And if you don't, if the rule is one you don't want, then throw the rule out. That's
okay. Then why didn't you complain about Liberty Street?
The Liberty Street. What was there when? What was it that you were looking for me to complain about?
When we just did this,
we just
paved over everything. That even the stuff that was designated sidewalk.
But it was all paved. There wasn't a sidewalk to begin with.
Somebody else called me out on that.
Yeah, yeah, it should have been a cement sidewalk. But again, I'm just don't want to come back. I think it's wonderful that we have some slate sidewalks. Myself, I don't. They're just extremely high maintenance, high cost, and I'm not a big fan. But if you want to keep the historical juices flowing, you want to put something down at the Monument Triangle. That isn't going to be because you're not going to run a. I'm not going to plow it. I'm just going to have the snow come in once snow sits on it. Not going to tear it up or anything.
They do plow that sidewalk.
They do.
And they do Pelkey Avenue. Don't tell me they don't.
I'm just saying. I have a hard time being hypocritical and say here's the ordinance when you're going to replace or repair because that's how it reads. You're going to do it with concrete.
We can change ordinances, or we can. Well,
you can. I'm against changing it. I think it's a very good one. I think you're throwing good money away when you're throwing it down.
Slate's going to last hundreds of years.
Not if you plow it with that plow and soft ground.
Well, that's why I talked about.
You're going to have a West Street mess.
That's what I'm talking about
here. As soon as we start going and plowing those. Especially with that V plow, we can get away with it with the blower we're going through.
Well, that's why I talked about building them up and making everything even. I think that was sunken in and uneven, and they just. And this winter was terrible. We didn't have a frost. Everything was
soft.
Right. I mean,
check with those guys and just ask them about if they plow.
And somehow we got into what's the priority for your guidance into a discussion on sidewalks. And I'm saying absolutely that's nowhere near. The sidewalk and sidewalk repair is so far down on my priority list. Top on the list, just like it was back in 2018, is to get the refurbishment and bring this town hall back up. It's fallen in such disrepair. We're finally coming around a little bit, but we have a long way to go. That's number one. And probably if I had number two, because I don't want a ton of items, it's Scotch Hill. That's culverts, that's ditching, that's paving. So if I was going to head my way and you had two things that you just laser focused on, those are the two things for me.
Speaking of Scotch Hill, definitely a good one. But we've also, within the last 3-4 years, a culvert was replaced up there. The bank slid in, filled the head wall, the culvert up. It's still not cleaned out.
Yep, the one Glenn Roberts came to us 6 months, seven months ago.
That should be on the list as soon as possible. Mm-hmm. And the reason it's not cleaned out is they've been so busy. It's not DPW's fault. It's just that we just aren't getting it done. And another thing that's very important, especially this week with the rain coming, a lot of these catch basins are covered over with debris again. And that's something that one guy could go around and clean off. That's very important. The more water we can get in the catch basin, the less erosion we're going to have going down hills. Just me.
No, and I agree with you.
No, but, and I'm not saying for the water, but I'm saying
no.
Another beautification project.
You just asking for stuff. I just threw it out. I agree this building needs to be taken care of in Scotch Hill, but you want to add something to your list?
I mean, I was thinking it was more of a general large project, large goal kind of thing. So sidewalks in general.
In Scotch Hill.
In Scotch Hill. There's this building.
It's those three for me, you know, and just to add suggestion to think about, and I'll have a response really is,
do it.
If we were to adhere to our sidewalk ordinance and replacing, I think the happy medium is whichever landowner is in front of a slate sidewalk, perhaps gets those slate sidewalk pieces for their front entryway. So it remains a part of the property, even though we might replace the sidewalk for cement. The other two things that are non-project related that I think will be critical to focus on, marketing, and increasing townsfolk engagement with town hall.
Right, and you're talking about marketing. I just talked to a vendor in Brandon at the farmer's market, and they said the farmer market out here is done. They said they couldn't get the participation. So we're talking about, you know, charging $5 our table, but we just lost the farmer's market.
I heard there was a lot of feuding going on.
Yeah, but, I mean, like I said, marketing, we got this new rec director. Let's put our park to use. I mean, here, from my boss and people in Fulton, we've got the nicest park in the area, and it mostly goes unused. I mean, we should really figure out how to jam-pack that with stuff, you know, and get people in town. I mean, we lost the business, or, you know, downtown, but downtown's full.
Talking about
Didn't
the vet just go back into
college?
So it's back up. Oh, it is.
Oh, the building space. They just moved to. They didn't go out of business. Well, moved to Castle.
Right.
And another one has moved back in.
Yeah.
Who moved in?
What's that?
The Alex moved down. The vets from up here are going to have a storefront. A vet storefront. So they're going to be open at least 3 days a week.
But no, don't you.
Let's move on. Any discussion on revenue? Although we've kind of hit the high spots already today.
Yeah, I was just going to mention I was still talking to Gleason Road and trying to draft something. So it's much bigger than I thought it was going to be.
Oh, it's I'm sure the state's going to. Somebody's going to say, some supervisor's going to say, what'd you do? I'm so sure of it. Yeah. My cupcake. All right. Parking lot, anything happening there? Okay. Board roundtable.
I don't have anything. I just thank DPW for what they're doing, as much as they're doing it. Being as short-handed as they are. I mean, there's a lot of work out there, and we don't have nearly enough people to accomplish it. Just so you know.
I just want to thank Joe and Rich and them for getting those turn lanes painted.
They look nice.
Yeah, no, I'm really impressed. So thank you. Another thing that was brought up, somebody asked about apparently Scotch Hill Brewery been closed or empty or something's going on there, and they asked about the tables, why the tables are still out in the corner if they're not open. So I don't know.
They had a equipment break, something major.
Yeah, they're not sure. Somebody forwarded me the post, and they're not even sure if they're going to
come back,
mm-hmm. depending on what the cost is of it. So...
Where's that?
Scotch. Somebody was asking about the picnic tables. They said that appeared that they've been closed for a while. And
the cafe could still use them.
Oh, yeah, that's what I thought, but I wasn't sure if Ruby's had access to them too, because I know they put their own little
Well, they could use them.
Right. They're,
they don't have to, but.
Where are the picnic tables?
And
I'm not understanding.
In the corner.
The corner that they got.
At Scotch Hill?
No, no. Scotch Hill Brewer.
Oh, the Brewer. He said Scotch Hill. Okay.
My bad. Sorry.
Yeah, we're good. Well, I understand.
And we start setting picnic tables up on Scotch Hill and, you know,
well,
have a picnic.
Scenic view.
Yeah.
Speaking of marketing. Yes.
Oh,
you all know? You all know?
Yeah. Yes, I'm done. Thank you.
I got one thing, and it's very preliminary. There's a possibility that the Legion may put a pavilion. Would ask the town if we could put a pavilion in the Veterans Park, kind of the same place. And the first thought is kind of the same place where the temporary stage goes up and down. Probably would have to get that big bush out of there that's there now. But it's very preliminary. They were going to have a meeting that I couldn't attend yesterday to talk about it, whether they're even willing to do it. I think the town's commitment would be to say yes and possibly to bring some stone in so they could set the pavilion on. They're looking possibly something that a board in place, I think they've looked at. Is very preliminary. I don't know what happened as of last night, but what it would do for one thing, breaking down that temporary thing after Memorial Day. Usually, the guys that are doing it are the Legion guys who have already walked in two or three parades that day. They're all 70 years old and they're sick of doing it. So the thought process is this would be, plus it would be useful for other functions.
It would be a really nice addition.
Yeah, I think so too.
It would really.
The other thing is you could put permanent power there. You could do Wi-Fi and you know, you could make the sound system much better. 101 possibilities, but the.
And be a great spot for pedestrians and people to sit.
Yeah.
Need be.
Yep. Yep.
You know, I think it would be a really nice addition for the town.
So I don't know where they ended up with it last night, but I suspect the price tag for the pavilion wasn't too awful bad. So they may be okay with it. And I know the guys that knock it down will be more than happy with it. But,
No, I agree. I think that'd be a nice addition.
So more to come. That's all I know. Okay, let's go on. Financial reports, Glenn.
Okay, I'll make a...
Just a minute. Another piece of paper.
There you go.
Okay.
I'll make a motion to pay the payroll of $42,481.72.
Second.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Those opposed?
There was a payroll that came in after the original one, so I'll make a motion for payroll for $719.29.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye. Make a motion to pay the general warrant of $125,457.87.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed? I guess that was all of us.
There is another, a late fiscal year 2024 warrant that needs to be paid. So I'll make a motion to pay that fiscal year 2024 warrant for $2,948.22.
Second.
What was that for? You know, or just clean up?
It was closing out the sidewalk grant. It was the last invoices for all the regions.
All those in favor?
Aye.
All those opposed? If I get questions about that, do you want to say?
The payroll.
The payroll for 719.
There were two payrolls.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And the checkbook stats were a minus $76,650.85, but taxes are coming in. So that's it.
So let's hope so. Okay. We're okay. You say that. Big concern would be if that number was like 5 million.
Right, right. That's a...
Well, then we'd be looking at you.
Yeah.
Is there an
executive
group?
Okay. Make a motion to go into executive session for personnel 1 DSA 313A1.
Make a motion to do so.
That's a second.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Those opposed? Okay. We will be in session after the breakdown.